Good morning and welcome. Appreciate very much your presence. And we appreciate those who are watching through Zoom. I want to ask you to turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 through 16. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Appreciate Nicholas's comments before he led us in that song a moment ago. He had no idea what I was preaching on this morning, but it is exactly in line with what I've prepared for us. You know, it is not news to anyone that for the past year, the world has had its focus on a pandemic, which goes by the name of COVID-19. And more than likely, it is going to continue to be the focus in the coming months. Our lives have been uprooted, and our routines have drastically changed, haven't they? I don't need to tell you that everywhere we go, you've heard it too. Sometimes it's out of our own mouths that we are talking about the frustration that we are feeling and that folks have. And it's usually summed up by, I just wish we could get back to normal. That's a good thought. I don't know if we're going to, or if we're going to be experiencing a new normal from now on. But during these difficult shelter-in-place times, we have had numerous events canceled. We have had things that we were anticipating, like vacations or trips, those kinds of things derailed. And they're all disappointments for sure. And we are not alone as people. But during this difficult time, it doesn't do anything good for us to dwell upon what we've lost or what we've missed out on or the negative things that have happened in our life as a result or during this past year. One thing that disappointment leads to is discouragement. And all of us knows that discouragement is one of Satan's strongest weapons against the Lord's people. And we need to be aware of that and reminded of that. And with or without a global pandemic, disappointments are inevitable. And our disappointments still do not have to lead to discouragement. And, you know, we all need right now, as we look at our situation, we need some positive thoughts. You know, if when it comes to looking backwards at in time to Israel and the murmuring and complaining that they did under trying circumstances and difficult times in their lives, we can pretty much rest assured that it's a human tendency that it's going to escalate for us in the days ahead. The longer that we wait and hope for a solution to this pandemic. But you know, the Apostle Paul, or the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul, as we just read a moment ago, teaches us that the Christian is to view life differently than the rest of the world. And we are to not be murmurers and complainers and so forth. And even in the midst of difficult times, as we wait for Jesus' return. We know that the COVID-19 pandemic is deadly. And it has awoken the world to a new order. And while the world waits for an inoculation to be developed, we continue to focus upon this pandemic. I want to just suggest to us this morning that as Christians, our challenge is to remain focused upon what we are to be, as Nicholas was mentioning a moment ago. It's most important that we don't lose our identity, or that our identity slips into us being, I am a COVID survivor, or I'm COVID free. Our focus must remain upon who we are and what the Lord would have us to be. And that's what I want to talk with you about this morning. You know, in unfamiliar and trying times, we all need inspiration, and not from men. We need it from God. And that's exactly what we're going to look at this morning. I want us to change our focus from COVID-19 to Christ in 2021. And we don't have to wait till 2021. We can start today. And what I would like to do today is just take a look at COVID as an acrostic and turn our focus to Christ. Instead of focusing so much upon COVID-19, by the way, I'm not suggesting that we ignore the things that we need to be doing and that we ought to be prudent about doing all that we can to keep from contracting this pandemic or this disease. I'm not suggesting that at all. We need to do those things. But I want us to focus upon Christ's overpowering victory and how it inspires delight and how it ought to inspire delight in his people. And so let's just take a look at scripture. I've got 7 points this morning, and they're going to be brief. We're going to look at some passages and just let the passages speak for themselves. In Romans chapter 8, verses 31 through 39, Apostle Paul says, if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore, is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now we know that the Roman Christians that Paul was writing to in a very short time is going to be going through some great persecution and having to endure some very, very difficult times. And no doubt, the Holy Spirit knows that this is all coming and guided Paul to say the things that he did. Because they may end up walking away thinking that the love of Christ has somehow diminished or it's just vanished. Where is that love as they're going through this? And did you note what he says here? He says, neither life or death or angels or principalities or powers or political powers nor things present or things to come can separate them from the love of Christ. And it's talking about the love that Christ has for them and for us. But notice how he says nothing present, nothing in life, nothing in death, nothing that will come to pass in the future can change that. That's victorious talk. He says that we are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. Colossians chapter 1, 10 through 12 says that you may, Christian, you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who qualifies us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. So here he's talking about the power of Christ and how it can strengthen them with patience and long-suffering. In Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, now to him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. To every generation forever. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can even imagine or think, according to the power that works in us and in every generation. That is the exact opposite of the kind of thinking that this pandemic is leading us into every day that we get, go out there in the world, isn't it? We're looking at doom and gloom and defeat and where are we, uncertainty and doubt. That isn't where the Lord wants us to put our thinking. Secondly, instead of focusing upon COVID, how about focusing upon Christ, our vitality in the times of discouragement? In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, it says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. We know that he's writing to those who were enduring persecution and were thinking of leaving the faith. But he says, whenever you're going through these tough times, you turn your attention, look at Christ. Look and remind yourself of what he had to endure from sinners and what they did to him. Consider him, he says, lest you become weary and discouraged. Christ is a solution to whatever it is we're facing in this earthly life. And he is the source of our endurance. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 through 13, Apostle Paul says, I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased and how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I learned both to be full, to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Paul's sentiments here are exactly what Ephesians 3 and verse 20 and 21 have to say. That the power that was working in Paul was the power of Christ, and it was exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. And he says that he learned to be content. I know contextually what he's talking about is he's talking about thanking them for the support that they had given him, the financial support to preach the gospel and so forth. And he says, I know how to be abased. I know how when I'm in need and things aren't going so well, or I have needs, I know how to be content in that because I know the Lord's going to take care of me. And I also know how to live when I'm abounding, having more than I need. But he said, I learned these things. I learned them. That everywhere and in all things, I have learned to be content. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 through 10, it's a text that we're familiar with. It's typically called Paul's thorn in the flesh. And he's talking about it. He says, concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Paul's vitality during physical infirmities was the Lord's grace that was available to him. And he actually says he took pleasure in it. He took pleasure in the discomfort, the pain that he endured, because he knew that it was Christ's power. It was promised to see him through this. And he knew that it was all that he needed. He says, when I am weak, then I am strong. Thirdly, turning our attention from COVID to Christ's omnipotence, it virtually infuses us with determination. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 6. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice. And though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. Again, the context of Peter's first epistle, he's writing to Christians who are suffering or bearing the name of Christ, suffering as Christians. But he says you have a living hope. And that living hope of a future resurrection and inheritance and a place in glory with the Lord is something that will help us get through this difficult time in our lives, just like they were going through. In this you greatly rejoice, though for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. You know, this great joy that he's talking about is not based on temporary circumstances that may grieve us in this ever-changing world. He's telling us that the joy that we have in Christ is not to diminish, regardless of circumstances. That Christ infuses us with that joy and determination to keep on keeping on. He says, look at the power of God, he tells us. Romans chapter 5, verse 3 through 5. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit given to us. Look what he promises that we have. We have infused into our hearts through the Holy Spirit strength and power to endure tribulations, to persevere, and how perseverance gives us character, and character strengthens our hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. In Colossians chapter 3, 16 and 17, talking about infusing determination in us, listen to these words. He says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Very similarly, in Ephesians 5, 19 and 20, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I don't mean any disrespect in what I'm about to say, but these passages were not given to us just to debate the authority of whether we should have instruments of music or not. These passages are given that we might encourage one another. It's a one another text, speaking to one another, building up one another, edifying one another as a church in our assembly. We need to see to it that the words of Christ dwell in us and fill us with joyful song, where we can uplift one another. That's how we can turn our attention away from COVID-19. We can also do it by looking at Christ's obedience and how it vividly invigorates his disciples. In Philippians 2, 5 through 8, you know this text, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. He's telling not just the Philippians. This is counsel to all Christians in every generation. Think like Christ thinks. He made himself no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men and being found in appearance as a man. What did he do? He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Just turn your attention to Jesus. And that's going to result in what he says in verses 14 through 16. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. You know, my wife and I were talking about this. It's come up several times in the past few weeks. How that so many people seem to be thinking that this is the end of the world. I don't know. It might be the start of it. I'm not a prophet. I don't have any idea about that. We know what Scripture teaches. But if that's the direction it's going, that's the direction it's going, and nobody can change it anyway. But one thing we've talked about, and it's she has had opportunities to talk with some of the people at work who are bringing up the book of Revelation, and it's taking the opportunity to bring comfort to people that the things that were written in the book of Revelation were written to those of the first century. In her discussion, the person said, I didn't know that. She goes, let's just look at the first few verses of Revelation chapter 1. These things must shortly take place. She was able to bring a little bit of hope to that person. These are times when the world is thinking about, is it the end of life? And they're thinking about their lives. What an opportunity to have the mind of Christ in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. In Romans chapter 8, verse 29, Paul says, "For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be firstborn among many brethren." That's God's intent for saved sinners, is Christ conformity. That's what we need to focus upon, not how bad this COVID virus is. In 2 Corinthians 10, verses 4 through 6, Christian, he says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Whether it be thoughts or ideas or speculations or philosophies or reasonings, the Christian has clear lines of distinction between error and obedience to Christ. He says, think like Jesus. Run those things through the mind of Christ. See what his word has to say. Instead of thinking about COVID, let's change our thinking to how Christ offers valuable investment decisions. Think, well, that's kind of an odd thing to be talking about. Not really. You know, sometimes we need to refresh our thinking as to what is really important. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 26, Jesus asks a provoking question. He says, "For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" The message is painfully clear that when one faces disasters of hell, the remorse that a lost soul will feel, what's he going to buy it back with? Nothing. There's nothing out there. Revelation chapter 3, verse 18, Jesus teaches us what to purchase. He says, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich. Who's he writing to? He's writing to Christians earlier in this chapter who are very satisfied, thinking that they have no needs whatsoever. They're in need of nothing. All's good here. And he says, you need to repent. You need to think about that. He says, look at the beauty of that. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may become rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. The Lord's counsel there is teaching them to see the impurities in their life, the impurities in their thinking, the sins in their life. That's the kind of thing that we need to focus our attention upon. In Matthew 6:33 and 34, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Live one day at a time, we talk about. We can read that and say, yes. But stop and think, how good are we at really applying it? And do we? Do we really live one day at a time? Simple. He says, give your attention entirely to what God is doing right now. And don't borrow from tomorrow's troubles. Sixth, let's focus our attention upon Christ, our victor, and how he invites discipleship. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. It was Jesus who said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Look at the beautiful word picture that Jesus gives. Someone who is in desperate need of rest from the sin of life, from the slavery of sin, burdened by a guilty conscience, and how he can be yoked with Jesus, and the two walk together through life. And when those burdens get heavy, he's there to share them. In Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, he told his apostles before he ascended to heaven, "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Jesus wants us to focus and not lose that focus upon making disciples. Just because the world is going through COVID-19, doesn't mean that we surrender to what the Lord's will is. We need to constantly be thinking, not just our identity and how we relate to COVID, but our identity and who we are in Christ. That doesn't change no matter how bad things get in this world. In Revelation 19, verse 7, as we think about this very point, evangelism, if you want to call it that, or just reaching out to people who are seeking God. This is a vision that, in John's vision, is, that he saw of heaven, the throne scene. He says in verse 5 of Revelation 19, "Then a voice came from the throne saying, 'Praise our God, all you his servants and those who fear him, both small and great.' And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thunderings, saying, 'Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready.'" We know that that is metaphorical, that he's talking about the church, and that this is all inclusive of all of the Lord's people in every age. Coming to the climax of heaven. Think about that. It was a glorious vision. It's the ultimate, the redemption of all of people. Don't you want to be there? And don't you want to take someone with you? We need to be motivated by that. And lastly, Christ is our validation in death. That is, if we are in Christ. In Titus chapter 3, verses 5 through 7, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he has saved us, through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life." Our validation, our justification is in what Jesus has done, nothing that we have earned, nothing that we have done on our own. We're justified by mercy and grace of God. That's where our focus needs to be. In 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 9, he says, "For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He is our validation. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, and God both raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. Jesus is our validation. He's our vindication. And so what do we do with these things we're talking about? Work on our thinking. Put aside COVID, not being foolish and irresponsible, but let not that become our identity, whether we have it or we don't. We need to get our focus off of all of our disappointments. We need to get our eyes onto God's agenda for us, and we can find out what that is in his word. Are we where we're supposed to be in our thinking and in our actions? Are we encouraging and edifying and serving and supporting our fellow believers? It does my heart so much good to hear all of you brethren talking to one another about how much you miss being together. But you know what? We have some folks that can't be here with us, that haven't been here with us for quite some time. They feel the same way. And I know I can do better about this point, encouraging fellow believers. Are we preparing others for Jesus' return? One another? Our children? Are we staying focused upon Jesus' return? Because I said earlier, it's not fake news. He's coming. We don't know when, but he's coming. And are we helping other believers to grow closer to Christ? Brethren, we're the family of God. And God, in his word, is teaching us that he wants us not only to believe that, but to think that. And to carry it out into applications in our life. Christ and the glory that we have and the hope that we have in him far supersedes anything that can confront us in this life. Trust him. If you have a need this morning to respond to the invitation that he extends in his word to come to him, all who labor and are heavy laden, to find that rest, to get help with the burdens of life. If we can help you in that this morning, you can let us know as we stand and sing this song.